You know, this is pastors called to be a body. And what you're seeing, something said left. Gonna go this way. And something prompted me. Somehow, in all this process, I heard a voice I did not understand, but yielded in a direction that has brought me to life. And you were behind it. You were there and faithful all the time. We love you back today. Come on, can you do that? We love you back. We honor you. We thank you for who you are. Would you say it with me? Thank you for who you are. In me, for me, and through me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Well, are you blessed? Woo, I am. Hallelujah. Once again, if you're new with us, we want to welcome you. A great big God bless you. A hug in the spirit. Amen. Glad you're here. And pray that you'll continue to come and learn and grow in the goodness of God. Brother John Osteen, who is Joel Osteen's daddy. I never did get to know Joel, sat next to him, met him, but knew his dad. And there was a relationship there with my father. John Osteen was a tremendous man of God. Still to this day, he went on to be with the Lord a number of years ago. Doty has outlasted him, my goodness, now, pushing 20 years maybe? I don't know. And but I loved the simplicity. I loved his love for God, his love for missions, his love for the world, his love for people. I loved his transparency, his openness, and really, really had a major, major impact in our lives. Somebody asked him one time, but way back when they struggled for 20 years with little over 100 people in a feed barn east of Houston. I've been to that feed barn. Said, Brother Osteen, what is the key to what has taken place here? And this is when they were had a little old church at that time of 8,000. Before he went on to be with the Lord and Joel took over. He said, here's the way it is. He said, I never intended to build a great ministry. I just kept preaching the goodness of God until I found a group of people that wanted to listen. So numbers are immaterial. We're going to keep preaching the goodness of God, how he loves you, how he loves you, how he loves you. Let the revelation of his love transform your life. I'm so thankful today for the love of God. How about you? Yesterday, I don't have time to develop this morning, which is not a complaint. That's fine. We got next week, don't we? Where I wanted to go, but I do want to share this with you. Yesterday, I was at 2 o'clock yesterday evening, I was at the funeral of a dear friend, 90-year-old rancher, David Guype, the owner of Almeida Land and Cattle Company. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the Verde Ranch. Verde Ranch Road out of Paulden goes to the Verde Ranch. Beautiful. Most people have never seen it because it's private property. It's behind lock and key. A lot of history there. The little original homestead, a one-room cabin, sits up on the bluff across the creek from the main house, Zibby, you know, from years ago. Absolutely. Yeah, I knew. And at any rate, beautiful place. Anyway, he bought that place, I believe it was in 74. Yesterday, I heard things about Dave Guype that I had never heard before. Truly a man of God. I used to meet with him about once a month, sometimes more often, for breakfast or for lunch. I started working for Dave 10 years ago. He didn't know much about me. In time, he found out we were both believers, and then he found out about our ministry here. And several years ago, when his wife passed away, we got very, very close. And I lost a dear, dear friend only temporarily. I haven't lost anything. And Dave Guype. Dave Guype was a real businessman. I don't think anybody, I don't even think a lot of the family knew. He told me what his value was and, you know, what he had and what was within his holdings. Where God had brought him, he and his wife, Jo, but he never, ever, ever talked about his accomplishments, awards, recognitions from the government. from the denomination of the Nazarene Church, different things that I heard yesterday. I've sat with that man many, many, many a time, and all he talked about was Jesus. Now, we talk about cattle and the ranch, but it always got back to how much he loved God. We'd sit there and cry. Here's a guy over the last 10 years, so from the time he was 80, roughly, until he went to be with the Lord, 90, every time we'd get together, he'd weep for his kids who had not yet come into relationship with the Lord. He'd weep for the lost. He'd say, everything that I have is meaningless. Meaningless without this. He said, what brought me here was, he said, I learned something a long time ago, Lee. He said, how much God loves me. And he said, because of that, I knew how much I could trust him. Yesterday, I heard the story. He was born in Montana, raised to his teenage years in a little place called Cold Creek, Colorado, outside of Montrose. Raised in a two-room cabin. When he was in his late teens, they moved to Yuma. His dad worked for the Bureau of Water Management for the government. These are a lot of things that, because he never talked about himself. All he wanted to talk about was, tell me about yourself, Lee. Tell me what's going on in your church. He's a Nazarene boy. He doesn't believe in this Pentecostal stuff. But he would come here and sit in our church and sit in the back and just love it and then go home and tell that big Nazarene church up on Willow Creek what God was doing in Chino. Every time he would come by here till the last week that he passed away, when he'd drive by, he'd lift a hand, 6'5", Dave, lift his hand and bless our church. Tell me, Lee, what's going on? What do you pray? He'd be out there at the Brandon pen just a few weeks ago. We were Brandon cleanups at the end of the year, and he'd always bring a thermos of coffee for me and him, and he'd say, come here and sit down a minute. They can set up over there while they're doing it. I already had my horse saddled and things were sitting around. He always, come over here, sit down. Tell me about what God's doing. What's he speaking to you about? This is the way this guy was. I never knew award after award after award after award, the who of whatever, who wherever was in that church yesterday as people began to speak of what had been spoken in his life. Yesterday I found out something I knew that he had given. There are multiple churches, I mean many churches in Brazil, straight from his hand. Churches all over Arizona. He formed I can't remember the proper name. I'm going to get all this because I've got a recording of the funeral, because I didn't know all the stuff about him. My point is this. Here's a man who found out at a young age. They told his oldest daughter yesterday, said that while they were in Colorado, somebody invited them a number of miles to a little Nazarene church in Montrose, Colorado. And they got their whole family together, 25 mile an hour, in an old Model T, and would head to church. He said it was there, our family. I spoke to his brother yesterday, a tremendous man of God, and others. He said it was there that we found Jesus, and we found out how much he loved us. When they moved to Yuma as a young man, he said, as they were talked about, he's very awkward, 6'5". This is back during the Depression era. His sleeves never met his wrist. He was always so tall as his pants never reached his ankles, kind of awkward, and he buried himself in his work. Long story about how he met Joe, his wife, but when they were first married, it was all they could do to scrape together a few pennies, living in dire poverty. A recent college grad, he'd spent time in the military, and I don't have time to go through everything, but I'm driving home a point right here that has everything to do with our overall theme, faith that works by love. His little wife, Jo, also somebody that he met in a Nazarene church in Tucson. A missionary came through town. Dave was away, and she took all the rest of their money and gave it to a missionary. They said that Dave, when he got back and found out what she'd done, was in shock because they had nothing to live on. We're talking about tough, tough times. But he said, I knew her heart. Here's what she said about him. She said, I knew that God would provide, and I knew that David would take care of me as well. So when he got back, they joined hands. And they said that began a lifelong journey and habit that they obeyed God first, gave to his kingdom first, and that man amassed millions. And I probably am saying something I shouldn't say, but millions went overseas for the purpose of reaching others for the gospel. If you were to meet him, you'd never know that he wasn't just some big old tall lanky rancher from right here in Paulden, Arizona. A man who impacted life after life after life. They told things about him. He went on, was a pilot for many, many years, flew all over, got heavily involved in the church, started one of the first missions, a soup kitchen type setup where they would preach the gospel in Phoenix, used that airplane for his business, for the Church of the Nazarene, whatever. They talked about things like a place in California where he found out about a sister in the Lord whose husband had gone on to be with the Lord, had a huge farm and holdings up in Central California. He would fly on his own dime up to her farm and begin to help her manage properties, the lease of farming properties, helped her manage until that farm began to prosper and to grow, and from what I understand is off the charts even to this day, and didn't want a dime back for what he did. He said, this is what I do because of what God has done for me. At Point Loma Nazarene College, there is now a huge facility where they train all of the college students there in the highest form of music and whatever. That was a donation given by that farmer lady, very wealthy, to that ministry right there in Southern California. A tremendous testimony of somebody who found out a long time ago, even as we were talking about his, he said, I'm looking for another 10 years. This is back of about 6 months. He said, I'm looking to live for another 10 years if God wills. He said, but I don't know when I'll go on to be with the Lord. But he says, Lee, he said, I hope people do not have a big funeral and talk about all the great things that I did. He said, do you understand that it would be nothing without Jesus? He said, I want them to honor the one who made all of this possible. And this is, his whole life was about, I have been greatly loved. I must love back. I have been given to greatly and honored. I must give back. He was a man who educated himself. He believed. He wasn't a, you know, so many Christians today have become pacifists and fatalists. Oh, even so, come quickly, Lord. Everything's going to hell. I believe we're living in the greatest time ever. There's reason to plant for the future, to walk and talk and be like we've got 100, 200, 300 years left. Our young people don't need to hear our fatalist attitude that it's all over. We don't know that. And we've got seed to plant towards a great future in Jesus. Let your life not be about retreating and drawing to yourself survival. Preppers, they're nuts. Prep yourself with the Word of God. Prep yourself with an attitude of gratitude. Walk forward knowing that every request you can make known with thanksgiving, and know that God is coming through on your account. We live in great times. We got great reason to shout. I mean, we're so small. We talk about how tough it is, and I'll bet you everybody in here has at least one big flat screen TV in your home. I've got two, and more than one vehicle. We've been duped into believing we got it rough. Man, count your blessing. Lift your hands up. Give thanks for what he's done already and the greater things that he's going to do. Now, I don't have time to preach what I wanted to preach. Well, I could take the time, but I won't do that to you. That would not be honoring you back. I touched on a scripture last week. Next week, I want to continue where we left off last week, and that is talking about the love of God. Our overriding theme, faith that works by love. I pray in Jesus' name that everybody in here in this process gets a revelation of his love for you. that you get out from under the load and the bondage that has been placed on many of you, that the yoke is on your shoulder, that if you're going to get anything from God, you better love Him with all of your heart, with all of your, that's the law. That's old covenant. The standard is perfect, righteous, holy, and forever. I'm thankful for the law. But if you've come into Jesus, you have been delivered from the old law, and there is a new law called the law of love written on fleshy tables of the heart. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. That which was glorious has been done away, so that that which is much more glorious can take its place. Does the law still exist? You bet your boots it does. Paul said the law is for the lawless. But if you fall in love with Jesus, and more importantly, find out about His great love for you, you will do the law more perfectly by accident than you ever were able to do in your own willpower. I'm ready to fall in love with Jesus again. I pray in Jesus' name that you get a revelation of the love of God. Let me tell you something. You get a revelation of the love of God for you, giving won't be difficult. And this is not a manipulation to get you to give to us. Obviously, we have needs. We have lights, electricity, gas. We have a lot of things. We have things that are going on. I thank God that we're blessed. God's will, God's bill. And I know we got good people who believe. That's why we don't take up an offering. There's a box right there in the back that says tithes and offerings. We mention it very little. I've had the Lord speak to me when we started. No cover fee. Worship God. I mean, I tell you, I've been there. I've done it. I've been guilty of doing it. And I've also been under it, where there was three parts to service. There was worship. And then there was this part in the middle that lasted for a half hour while they beat us over the head about how that we needed to give more and we needed to be more faithful. And they'd always go to Malachi 3, which, by the way, is the old law. Wherein have you robbed me? You're cursed with a curse. I'm so glad that Galatians 3:13 says, I am redeemed in Jesus from the curse of the law. But there still is a promise in that law that still rests for you and I. Just like Paul, when he was quoting the law, he said the first commandment with promise was honor your father and mother, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. He said the sting, the curse is gone, but the promise still stands. If you'll follow, God will not, you won't just be blessed because of Jesus. Blessing will flow in your life to others. That happens when we get a revelation of the love of God. Now, before we go, turn with me to 1 John one more time. 1 John chapter 5, touched on this just briefly last week, and we're going to look at it a little bit more. Look at what it says. Drink of water here just a moment. And this is the confidence. Everybody say with me, confidence. Do you recognize when you're around somebody who is confident? Confident, let's define a little more. You ever been around somebody who was confident but not arrogant? That's a special. Somebody had the right stuff put in them or took the time to find the right stuff. Confidence. Have you ever noticed that when you're around somebody who is confident, it raises you, if you're around them very long, you become more confident. Ibby, I've never been one. I've worked on ranches most of my life. But I got married young. We had babies right off the bat. My wife had to work so I could play. Cowboys don't get paid a lot, you know that. So I never could, when the boys wanted to go on the weekend and team rope, I couldn't afford a trailer, let alone the insurance that went with it, and the ranch, the horses I rode belonged to the ranch. You know what I'm saying. So I wasn't able to do that. And in our setting, we had a roping club for a while in one of the places we lived, and I'd go up there and rope for fun. But for us to do anything like that and put that kind of money out for us at that time, plus we were heavily involved in the church, I never roped in front of a crowd. I was never a buckle cowboy. I loved the ranch. I loved to be in the backcountry. I, like any cowboy, had the dream it'd be nice someday. You know, it was after we moved here, we met Jeremy Morris. Do you remember Jeremy Morris? Jeremy and Mary Morris? We met Jeremy Morris. Now, Jeremy is a competitor. It doesn't matter what Jeremy does, that boy is athletic. He's very competitive, and it seems like he excels at no matter what he does. High school football. You name it, right on down the line. He was ranch-raised kid, and when he started roping, of course, Jeremy was, if he was roping somewhere, Jeremy was winning something, or right there in the top. We got to know Jeremy here. It's a long story. David Simmons and I. And by the way, let me stop just a minute. Being I'm not going to do a sermon, I can take this a little bit of time. Two people that most of you are not aware of, I need help. We need to get their pictures on the wall and honor them as co-founders of this church. I've been pushing David, and I think the way we're going to have to do this is we're going to have to come up with tickets and an offering. I want David and Rachel Simmons here preaching in our church so we can honor them for their part in this church being where it's at. I miss my buddy David. And you bet. If you haven't met him, you'll love him. Awesome guy. David and Rachel and Matt and Ruthie, who Matt was another boy that was saved along with, alcohol, drugs, fist through doors. He was a wreck when he found Jesus at our ministry in Florida, a place that I never dreamed that I would be, in Central Florida. That's another long story. But it was there that we saw God do a great work. So those two couples started with us, together with Ryan and Esther, and without them, literally. If you don't know David and Rachel, my prayer is you'll still be here when they come and you can get to know a wonderful, wonderful couple. And they are, by the way, active in ministry. David still shoes horses, but he's also a hospitality pastor, among other things. Very active. Rachel's very active in ministry of music and a number of other things. Home groups, you name it, in Redding, California at Bethel. So they'll come loaded with some good stuff, I guarantee you, when they come. So at any rate, where was I? I interrupted myself on purpose. Now you got to help me. Huh? Jeremy Morris. So David and I got to know. In fact, it's a long story. Actually, when we were planning on making this move, I struck up a relationship with an old rancher in the Hart II Ranch in central Idaho, American Falls. And it was in that process, another long story. I've gotten about, I don't know, four horses from him, whatever. And tremendous guy. And when we made the decision to move to Arizona, he called me and he said, Lee, I've got a nephew down there somewhere in Arizona. We don't know where he's at, but he's backslid. He's a wreck, but he's a good boy. He was raised in church, a little Assemblies of God church there in Pocatello, Idaho. And he said, Mom and Dad are praying for him. We're praying for him. We had no idea that when God directed our steps to Chino Valley, that he was actually living right up here below on Williamson Valley Ranch below Table Mesa. Had an arena up there. Another thing is, when we got here and found out he was here, he swung the doors wide open, even though he was a backslidden wreck. Alcohol had a hold of his life. Just about destroyed a marriage. I mean, you're talking about a mess. That's a miracle where he's at today. Truly a man of God. And it happened through roping. David and I struck up a friendship, and we realized he was here. It was another one of those miracles in our move here. We started going up and practicing with him in that arena every week. And started doing a different type of roping called ranch roping, which is a long, we used 60 to 80 foot ropes fancy type shots. It's more of a Northwest buckaroo style. I mean, we had a blast. Not only did we have a blast, but we got better and better as a team. He says, you guys need to come compete with us. So we started going. We went to one deal over in California and actually set an arena record, the three of us, in El Cajon, California. Went back in January and won the finals, buckets, jackets, cash, you name it. Man, it was the time of our lives. Now, here, so that's my one, I've got buckles, but that's the one that means a lot. Champion Ranch Roper. And I kind of, all right, 2006, I got the jacket, 2006, Champion Roper, El Cajon, California. Ranch Roping Classic, blah, 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 blah. So someday we'll have to throw some of this up on a screen so you can see another side. So at any rate, my point in this is Jeremy, and I tell it this way without any shame whatsoever at all, we literally rode his coattails. He was the true competitor. He was experienced. He knew what he was doing. We'd learned enough from him. Man, scoop shots. Boy, I could hit that scoop shot down the fence. And hula hands. And straight behind. You guys don't have that. Turnovers, del vientos. You know what I'm talking about. All bam, we had a blast. And we racked up the points and won. The true champion, though, was a guy that when we were rattled and things were going backwards, his face was set like flint. He was a true competitor. And his confidence, when ours was ebbing, lifted mine. I've experienced that a little bit with you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Another story. I won't embarrass you. I love it. Somebody's confidence, because they've been there, they know. There's that competitive thing. Confidence. Somebody's confidence lifts. When they're confident, without being arrogant, confidence of experience and knowledge and in themselves, certain things, it lifts my confidence. John here says, this is the confidence that we have. If you don't have this confidence, let me tell you that a revelation of the love of God for you will cause your confidence to soar. We need people in here that are confident in the love of God, confident because of His love that He'll do what He said He would do, that He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask, hope for, think, or imagine. You think it's over? Don't call it so yet. Stop. Shut up. If you don't know what else to say, lift your hands heavenward and say, thank you, Lord. I know this didn't come from you. I know that you are for me, and I'm rising above in your name because I know that you love me. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. John kept saying, I, John, the apostle whom Jesus loved. It wasn't that Jesus loved John more than the rest. John got a revelation of the love of God, and he outlived all of them, died of old age, the only one. I pray in Jesus' name, a revelation of the love of God. See, the we talk about all the things that the devil comes against. He comes against your finances. He comes against your body. He comes against that. Listen, all of that are just ways to get to what he's really after. It's the love of God. Because if he can snuff that, if he can hamper that, then he's got the big boy. Brother Copeland in the series, I love what he said. It's so true. He said, you'll find out that God is a God of many things. And you've heard me say this for years. It blessed me to hear him going right down that same line. Who knows? Maybe I got it from him years ago. He said, God has, he is a God of faith. He has faith. He has, and he named and everything, but he says, God is love. So we need a revelation of the love of God because faith that moves mountains. Young ladies, We had a birthday party for Olivia last night, and somebody clicked on a radio, and they were playing a handful of just very simple country love songs and different things. Olivia loves. She spent yesterday at the ranch with me. I got video of her. I mean, we thought we were going to go just for about a three-hour drive, and there was a change in our plans. We ended up pushing cattle for 3 hours, then working them for two, and then going another 2 hours. And I thought I'd ruined it for her. Man, she held up like a champ. Where is Olivia? Oh, and she loved it. She did good. She's a little sore today, but she did good. Huh? Oh, she's on the kid's side. Okay. Where was I at? Yeah. And, you know, you got all these young kids, and they're dreaming. They got all these romantic dreams and these cute little songs. But you want to know something? What the world always, the message, underlying message, 95% of the time, in country, whatever genre, is all about us having a dream and finding our dream and somebody else meeting our dream and somebody else making us feel complete and somebody else meeting our needs and somebody else making me feel. And we have a generation that is lost. They don't know that love gives. And that's why we have marriages built on emotion that fall apart, that are built on the wrong things that fall apart. I'm so glad. Listen, young people in here, young women, young men, teenagers that remain with us, you get a hold of the love of God and find out how that works. You'll have a marriage that will be above what you've seen. A home where there's peace, a place where kids that grow up under your leadership will love to be there. Get a hold of it. Make it your life quest to discover the love of God. Be patient. Let God meet your needs. Don't be in such hard pursuit for a dream. Do you hear me? Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. Trust God. It works. John said, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Not in a message, not in a list of concepts, in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, come on, are you ready to have your socks blown off today? He hears us. I don't have time now. We'll do it next week. But Jesus stood before a tomb. There was a dead man named Lazarus. He opened up, the scripture says, he opened up his mouth and spoke so that those around him would hear him say, it says it right there in the King James. He said these things so that those around him would hear. Father, I know that thou hast heard me. Followed by a blasting, Lazarus, come forth. How many in here can remember death and grave clothes? But one day you heard about Jesus. How many in here are free and walking in greater freedom? Oh man, the power of the gospel. Jesus said out loud so that you would know. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. That's pretty powerful. It's a quarter till. I'd love to develop that more, but I've held you too long as it is. Confidence. How many are ready to climb into a whole new level of confidence in the Father's love for you? A whole new level of confidence in who Jesus is in you, for you, with you. Jesus in John 17, we'll look at it next week and we'll finish what the agape love was. He says He acknowledges the love that the Father has for Him and the love that He has for them, His disciples, and those who would believe. Father, I know that thou lovest them as thou hast loved me. John was different. John had confidence because he had a revelation of the love of God, and faith works. Mountain-moving faith works by love. Let's stand to our feet today. If you came today and you don't know Jesus, or you need prayer or need somebody to agree with you, would our prayer team make their way forward? Bruce, is there any way that you could join your wife? Can you get somebody with your baby? Join your wife up here. Join this group with us today. Amen. And let me pray for you before you go. How many have been blessed today?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you've spoken to our hearts, even when there wasn't teaching involved. In all this goings on this morning, Holy Spirit, you were moving, talking, speaking, cementing, affirming, confirming, doing what you do. Father God, forming a family, forming a culture of faith, a culture of the love of God. Father God, I thank you that you deliver us from churchdom, not the church, because you paid for the church. You believe in the church. We are the church. But what church has become, churchdom in the sense of what many people understand it, you've delivered us from that, and you're bringing us back into relationship with you. John said it this way in 1 John chapter 4. He says, "And the love that we have known and receive." Some of us in here have had a hard time with that. We've never seen real love. Father, I thank you that over the weeks to come, the revelation of your love breaks through, that we can know and receive the love the Father has for his own. And in this, Father, I thank you for supernatural working in marriages. I thank you for hurts that have gripped us for years fall away. I thank you that spiritual leprosy clears away, clears up, newness of life and innocence as the love of God is restored in our life. Father, we thank you today for great forgiveness right now, already, even before we ask. Father, we thank you for great favor already, right now, even before we realize it. And Father, today we thank you for your people, for what you're doing here in Chino Valley Family Church. Father, help us make an earthquake kind of effect on this community in Jesus' name. Come on, would you shout it with me? I refuse to be ignored. Greater is he. Come on, shout it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will not be a light hidden under a bushel. I will not be hidden in my testimony, for you are great. Father, thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Have a blessed week in Jesus. Enjoy God. Let somebody know. Bring somebody to church with you next week. Have a wonderful week. Altars are open as we continue to worship. Hallelujah.